Recorded live at the WonkyWeeds.com studio, it's the Selling Out Show. And now, here is your host, David Chicharro.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show. I am your host, David Chicharron. This is the first full-on episode in the mighty Selling Out Show manner after Nate's untimely passing, so it will be a little bit of a work in progress to our regular listeners, so please bear with me here. I am not alone, though, because in the spirit of Nate, and this is a big thing for me, I am joined over here, down on the floor, by my dog, Phoebe. That's right, the Fieber, Justin Fieber. I got a Fieber, hoo-hoo. There she is, looking at me here in the WonkyWeeds.com studio as I record the first Selling Out Show post-Nate. But fear not, there will be plenty of Easter eggs along the way, and little homages and nods to Nate over hopefully the years to come as the Selling Out Show continues. One of which is how I want to lead off the show today, because Nate and I love talking about movies. Oh boy, did we ever. 5 years worth here of talking about movies, and something that always going to rise out of us were remakes and reboots, because everybody knows that Hollywood has no fresh ideas, right? It's just a desert wasteland of people sitting around somewhere in California going, I got nothing. I ain't got jack diddly poo. So, and funny enough, I saw this morning they're doing a Roadhouse remake with Jake Gyllenhaal, which makes this all that much more timely. I started thinking to myself, okay, we're on the topic of remakes. Let's think of a famous actor, comedian, American icon, if you will, who has never, as far to my knowledge, ever starred in a remake movie. Has never done a reboot. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, I never bothered to look this up on Google, but still I wanted to have fun with it. And I knew Nate would get a big kick out of it. So I'm starting my own studio. Yep. Diversifying my profile here. And the first production from Selling Out Show Studios will be a film starring Adam Sandler. And, oh, okay, Adam Sandler, okay, that's who you've been alluding to, who never did a remake. Well, you're wrong, okay. If that's the case, feel free to email me, sellingoutshow@gmail.com. But, in the meanwhile, let's take a beloved American classic, a timeless film that no one dares to ever tread upon, once again, or so we'd hope or think, that really deals with the growth of a young man through friendship and the bonds of baseball. So without further ado, I give you Adam Sandlot.
I know you're smart and I'm proud of you. I want you to make some friends this summer.
Meet Scotty Smalls.
Kale, get it!
The kid is a L7 weenie.
Suck my white ass!
Climb trees, hop fences, get into trouble.
Just stand there and stick your glove out in the air. I'll take care of it.
You want some more of that? I didn't think so!
Now he's in.
Yeah! All right!
With the coolest guys in the neighborhood. They've got the look.
Wendy Peppercorn.
Want to touch the hiney?
They've got the moves. They've got the rap.
It also reminds me of the time I saw the 60-year-old man slide down one of those things and he was going so fast his bathing suit fell off and I just stood there and stared at his big, beautiful, hairy balls flopping around. Holy jeez, I wanted to lick them.
I got it!
Oh, no!
Yeah, my childhood was going great, but life is full of surprises.
So there you have it. Feel free to send me your money for advance tickets, because I'm sure this will sell out in theaters nationwide. The first selling out show studios production, Adam Sandler. And you're probably thinking, geez, Dave, that's a lot of lead up just for that. And you're right. You're not wrong. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But yet again, I think that was something that Nate would have truly enjoyed. So no better way to start the show off than with my dog over here in the corner and a faux, do you say faux or fox? Fox fur wouldn't make much sense. So maybe it's faux, but that's also a dish that you could eat. But anyway, movie trailer for Adam Sandler. And if no one's ever thought of that before, shame on you. The fact that some 46-year-old man was laying awake in bed one night and was like, hey, man, what if I just come up with some clips and mix Adam Sandler with the Sandlot? Wouldn't that make sense? You know, the name, everything else. Shame on society, really. Your loss. My gain, your gain, and here we are right now. But anyways, moving forward, I just said I tend to stay up and look at the ceiling and get lost in my own thoughts here. Well, here's one for you. Remember when you were a kid and it would be a big problem? It would drive your parents crazy if your friends called too late, you know? Oh, it's past 9 p.m. How dare Bobby call here? We're trying to watch the show, or we're trying to go to bed, or whatever the case may be. You could never call too late. It was a big deal. No joke. I would assume these rules still apply, even though there are cell phones now rather than, corded phones in your house waking everybody up when it rings. But still, if you do remember, okay. So, the faux pas now would be the opposite, don't you think? It would be texting someone too early in the morning, right? Because, I mean, I got friends all across different time zones. And I don't keep track of that stuff. I never think, oh, I'm texting my buddy in Arizona. What time is it there? No, I'm just like, hey, man, I got something to say. I want to say it right now. Texting coming. Do I know if he turned off his notifications? No. Be damned if I care. Right? But that's not cool, man. Someone's resting in their bed. And forget the different time zones here. Let's just say in general. Let's just say it's your friend down the street. And you're like, it's 6:30 in the morning. I want to talk about the new movie Adam Sandlot. I'm going to shoot you a text. Dude, I could sleep in late a little bit late today and you ruined it. My phone started chiming. You woke up my wife or whatever, my watch. Like in my case, started vibrating and telling me there was a notification. And it's your stupid message. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if anybody else can kind of relate to this, but I was thinking that, yeah, maybe the texting too early in the morning has now become calling too late at night. You know? Am I onto something here? I don't know. This could be an episode where I'm just full of onto somethings. I'm just totally blowing people's minds. I don't know. I really don't know. But still, just food for thought here. All right? So be wary in the future when you are going to send a text. Because nobody calls anymore either. I hate calls. Don't you? Don't call me. Just text me. You know? But there's no need for conversation. There's no need for shooting the breeze about something for a little bit. You can just get very succinct and tell me exactly what you want to tell me in a one or two line text. Just don't do it too damn early. Now, I don't know if I've noted this before in the past, but I don't live in the most desirable neighborhood. Would I go so far as to call it the ghetto? No, I don't have people sitting on the corner eating a jelly donut and smoking crack, but you know, it's really not probably the most, I guess, desired location in the Dallas region. But still, you know what? It's cheap. I live here. I don't have a problem with it. And I'm too lazy to move. So, whatever. But still, I've had a problem. And this is going to make me sound even older than the last topic of the text is solicitors. People knocking on the door. And one thing I get, and it comes in waves at very specific times, are people trying to have me switch my internet service. And that got me wondering. Like, okay, do the Verizon or the AT&T fiber people only target lower income neighborhoods or apartment complexes? Is it like Sally Struthers is outside roaming the streets saying for only
$88 a month for the first year. No contract. You can get whatever, 300 megs of internet. I don't know, man, because I'm starting to think it's really, really strange. And they're kids. It's almost like telemarketers at your front door. And one day I got hit by these kids coming to my door, and there's this young lady, and I was wearing this shirt. And this shirt is older than dirt. I've had it for so long, and it's cheesy, but it's a perfect dad shirt because it's a cow looking at a gallon of milk, and it says, "Milk, I am your father," and the milk is going, "No." Okay, there you go, your Star Wars reference for the day. But the moment I opened the door, I'm like, okay, here we go. And I get a ring, so I know she's outside, but I kind of feel bad. So I'm like, what do you want? "Oh, hey there, sir. You like cows? I love cows. I'm from Iowa." And I was like, well, that's I've never heard that before. That's a fine howdy-do. I mean, you know what? I appreciated it more than who is your internet service provider, first thing, before even hello. But I did have to rudely tell her, no, sorry, not interested. Even though I could possibly, because my internet is ridiculously expensive. But yet again, just like my living situation, I'm too lazy to do anything about it. I'm like, whatever. It's going to be more of a pain in the ass to switch all the passwords or, my router. I don't want someone coming into my house and messing with all the wires. I'm just going to keep paying the exuberant amounts that I pay now rather than saving an extra $25 a month. Kind of logic is that. But still, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this. And if you do live in an affluent neighborhood or, you know, a nice cul-de-sac, and first off, good for you. You made it. You did it. Congratulations. But do you ever have people knocking on your door offering you internet services? I think this is strictly for the poor. That's what I'm being led to believe here. That only us people downtrodden, the ones who reside in the dirt, are being harassed by little Verizon flunkies, maybe. I don't know. That's another thing I'd like to know. But I already gave the email address earlier. So if you didn't catch it that time, you're going to have to send me something via Messenger Pigeon. Plus, I don't even know if I get mail in the ghetto. I don't think I do. But yeah, I'm also at the point now where I'm like, should I hang up a no solicitors sign? And if so, would it even work? Would anybody even be like, don't go near that door. Don't even think about knocking on that son of a bitch. Look at that beautiful sign. We could say no smoking. It's like the same style, but it says no solicitors. Actually, there's a business I could get into. Some kind of like signage where it's like pure LEDs and you could just change whatever message you want on your front door. Anything you want. No solicitors. Meli Kalikimaka. Get the hell away from here. I love you. It doesn't matter. The possibilities are endless. Speaking of which, I will have a business opportunity to present to all of you a little later in the program. I am looking for investors. No, it has nothing to do with selling out show studios. That is already very well funded. We're doing great. But this next one I'm going to hit you with in a little bit definitely needs a little, or the addition of your ducats, your rupees, if you will. So, yeah. Now, another sign of the times is, I have an 11-year-old son who's in elementary school, his last year of elementary school. And the other day, we were discussing the videos, like the PSAs, the little instructional tapes they would play in school. The warnings, the dangers of living life. And I had mentioned how we'd either meet in an auditorium or even in the classroom, they'd wheel in the entire big fat TV that could crush somebody and a VCR. And one of the biggest dangers, the biggest hazards to kids my age was playing on the railroad tracks. And you laugh because it was true. It was absolutely true. I have so many stories to tell of me and my friends just walking the tracks going, "Oh, wow, man, can we make it to this town today with no water on a 90-degree day? Let's go." Or there was even an overpass, like a little bridge that me and my friends went underneath and created and made like our little clubhouse out of. So we wanted to hang out. We go underneath there and think it was like the coolest lair of all time. Yet still, this was a laughable notion to my son. Seriously, Dad, railroad tracks. I'm like, oh yeah, man, it was some serious business. They always show that kid goofing around and he get his foot stuck. And his friends are like, come on, Billy, let's go. And he's like, oh God, my Chuck Taylors is stuck underneath this rail. Please help me. And then the train's coming, and before you know it, you're at a funeral. You know? That's it for him. He's flattened that penny you know, left on the railroad tracks there, son. And so I ask him, I go, well, what are you guys watching? What's the kind of things they warn you about now? What's the big to do in 2024? Oh, that's internet safety. We watched some videos about internet safety, and man, are they old. God, they are so old. I'm like, wait, what? Seriously? He's like, yeah, they seem like they were produced in the early 2000s or something, Dad. I'm like, oh, God. Whoa. Clear the cobwebs. This is some really antiquated information you're getting there, buddy. I'm assuming it can't be any more than, whatever, 10 years old. But yeah, it's just basically don't share your location, your information, your age, your gender, or anything on the internet to strangers. Which is, you know, kind of like, yeah, just don't get in the van, man. Just now don't do it on the internet. So I'll make sure I say that to the next solicitor that comes to my door offering me cheaper web services, being like, I ain't getting in your internet van, dude. I don't care how much candy you're offering me. But yeah, still, what a change in the way we live. I often say that I was part of the last great generation, the ones pre-internet. Now, the internet still existed when I was a teenager in the 90s, for example, but it wasn't so prominent where we still couldn't get away with things or get in trouble in certain ways. Now, everything is being watched. I just mentioned my Ring camera on my front door. I've got cameras in my house. I've got Life 360 on my phones. Yes, I'm a helicopter parent. I don't want him playing on the railroad tracks. Blame the public school system for that one, okay, guys? But still, so to warn kids about certain hazards and dangers in life now have just changed so much. I mean, I guess one constant will always be razor blades and Halloween candy. That will never change. Well, no. I stand corrected. If you listen to political ads that come out around Halloween, it's fentanyl in the candy. Because nothing is better than drug dealers wanting to give away drugs and kill people for free. That's just a lot of crazy people out there just lacing Tootsie Rolls with fentanyl. But still, anyway, the premise is the same, right? Check your Halloween candy. Some nasty shit up in there. Some wackadoodles messing with your sugar daddies, you know? But yeah, internet safety versus playing on the railroad tracks. And you know what? I guess to be honest with you, I'm glad I didn't listen to the videos of my youth, because we did have so much fun, as I alluded to earlier, goofing around on those railroad tracks. And luckily, we never did get our feet stuck or what have you. But yeah, so yeah, times they are a-changing. I imagine what could they be 20 years from now? You know what I mean? The dangers of AI. Or are we already experiencing that now? I don't know. Maybe. I guess I'm blissfully unaware of many things. And that's becoming painfully obvious. So let's switch gears a little here. From the dangers of the world to some of the best stuff in the universe provided by the partners of this humble little program. We got NorthlandVapor.com, purveyors of fine vape products. Some of the best e-liquids I've ever had that I am enjoying right now. WonkyWeeds.com, whose wonderful studio I'm sitting in, looking around right now. RealDBG.com and AlpineHemp.com. Now, at all these sites, they provide gummies, CBDs, the deltas, the tinctures, the pet products, everything you can think of under the sun. Whether it's smoking cessation to relaxation, dude, they've got it all. And the best part is, you can use code SELLINGOUT23 at checkout to save 23% off your entire order. Also, check out their sites because they have retail brick-and-mortar locations you can walk into and say hello, because they are some awesome dudes, peeps, ladies, gents, and germs over there. Then last but not least, we have SpunkLube.com.
Spunk is a lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? You can visit spunklube.com today and have some of their products delivered discreetly to your mailbox tomorrow. Well, depends on your shipping options, I suppose. But anyway, you'll thank me for it. Trust you me. All right, moving on. Now, one of the constants of the show in the past was Nate's Notes. Great little segment where Nate would write up a piece about what he was listening to, memories of music in the past, his thoughts on music in the future, you name it. It was all across the spectrum musically. I don't have that. I don't have the same talents Nate had or the love of music that he had either. But one thing I've always enjoyed thoroughly is television. Can't get enough of it because I'm a big fat lazy schlub. Love sitting here as a couch potato and just watching me some boob tube. So I do have some fairly interesting information, according to me, to share with all of you. So let's get to a little bit of Dave's boob tube talk. Show me that smile.
Asleep. What year is it?
Dave's boob tube talk. Let's talk the boob tube. Yeah. I'm just singing a song. So yeah, this stuff is really super duper interesting to me. Let's see if it's interesting to you as well, because previous listeners will note my favorite streamer of all time is a little behemoth known as Hulu. Well, it's over. The love affair has ended, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. I have been watching a whole heck of a lot of Hulu lately, which is weird, because I pay for all these streaming services, yet they reign supreme. And now, here's the sweet kick in the pants of the whole damn thing. What I'm watching more than anything else is something called Freevee. Yes, Freevee. Now, Freevee is known a little bit for a show that they had called Jury Duty, which was excellent, but it got some award nominations for duping a young man to believe he was part of a legit jury. I found the show hilarious. But that's not the reason why I got hooked on the Freevee. No. And it's kind of weird, too, because it has commercials. And I have suffered through the same Justin Jefferson Little Caesars promo spot at least a billion times, but it has Murder, She Wrote, which I'm absolutely addicted to. And yes, I understand you don't invite Jessica Fletcher anywhere because someone's going to end up dead. I get it. And the quality of the show suffered over time. Yeah. But you know what? It's a wonderful ambient program I can have on in the background while I perform other duties of my day. Doing some dishes. What's up, JB? What's crackin'? Who's dead in Cabot Cove tonight, baby? Oh, laundry time? Oh, what's this underneath my dryer? Is that a used dryer sheet? No, it's a body. Mm-hmm. But lately I've been watching a buttload of this show that was on the USA Network, which was known for quality. Actually, the opposite of quality, because I don't think I've ever been like, oh my God, it's on USA Network, must see TV. But it's called Burn Notice, which is basically a comic book brought to life about a burn spy named Michael Weston, who, while trying to solve the mystery of who burned him in his spy career, helps the little downtrodden folk like me solve life's big problems. But the thing is it's free. It's Freevee. It's in the name. I'm paying for all these services, yet I'm sitting here all day watching Freevee. What's up with that? And I'm suffering through the damn commercials that I complain about, albeit they are little itty bitty spots, but yet, what's going on, guy? Shouldn't I just cancel everything else? I've got the damn Netflix. Shouldn't that go on my bundles? Shouldn't that go? You know what, to be perfectly honest with you, they should, and they would, if my wife wouldn't crush my nuts if I cancel them, because she likes having them. You know what I mean? I'd be satisfied just watching Freevee all the time, which is almost as fun to say as Hulu. Not quite there yet, but we're working on it. But still, the Freevee. And I had mentioned a while back, I bought Magnum P.I., the complete series on DVD for Christmas. It's been great and everything, because I don't have any commercials. I can just watch it seamlessly.
But Freevee has all those old classic TV programs on it. So they got me, man. They got their fangs in me. Got me with the venom. So yeah, that's what's up with Dave and TV right now. TV, Freevee, Dave, me. That's what we're doing, baby. So yeah, I know, it's so exciting. I know, right? What's up with the teaser? You had intro music and everything, and this is what you're talking about? I know. But can't blame a guy for getting excited about the little things, can you? Now, if you do watch Freevee, and you're addicted to any of the shows like Burn Notice or Murder, She Wrote, like I am, please reach out. Get in touch. The email address I provided earlier, sellingoutshow@gmail.com, or on the socials, sellingoutshow is the handle. I only look at Instagram. That was, all the other stuff was like basically Nate's thing. I did Twitter for a little while, but Twitter is a wasteland of evil. So I don't really go on there. I mean, I'll post like an episode or something on there, but it's like, all right, where's the engagement? I'm not there, baby. I'm not there. I'm somewhere else. And now I'm on Blue Sky, which is like Twitter. Just, I guess, more boring than Twitter was. Well, that's the state of the world. But this isn't I didn't create an intro for social media. This was TV talk with your buddy. Dave. So I did mention I need some investors, angel investors, because I don't really know what that means. When I think of angel investors, I think of people that's being really nice and giving me their money. I assume it has to do something with anonymity. I don't know. It doesn't matter. If you give me money, you're an angel. You really are. I'll give you a peck on the cheek. You sweet little thing. You angel, you. Thanks for the $5. But I think I got a big time idea here. I really do. And you may question how timely this proposal is to all of you right now. But right now, today is January 31st, 2024, so I'm still within a window of that season we all know and love called Christmas time. And to be brutally honest, sometimes the best way to get Christmas stuff is off-season, right? So why not be pitched a Christmas idea long after Christmas is over? So here we go. We all love it. We all love the season. Can't wait to get that Christmas tree up. It's a week before Thanksgiving. We're ready to rock and roll. Family time. Putting on the fake fireplace, a real fireplace if you live in a nice neighborhood unlike me. Got the music kicking, Perry Cuomo, whatever the case may be. Putting up that tree. Raise a little baby. Put the star on top. It's wonderful. But man, does it suck taking that damn thing down. Nah, it's not always the labor either. Sometimes it's like a walk of shame, you know? Your mascara's running. It was a rough night. You don't want anybody to know that you were spending, you know, your evening here, sneaking out that back door. That's taking down the Christmas tree. Whether it's artificial or real, doesn't matter. It's just depressing, man. It's a bummer. So what if I offered you a service, yes, indeed, that we don't put a damn thing up, but we'll take everything down. We will pack up everything nice, put it back in your little whatever plastic tubs, your cardboard boxes, whatever the heck you got goes into your storage area. All thanks to me and my crew, takingdowntrees.com. That's right. Well, maybe I should change the website address on that one because I might get environmentalists really angry at me. They think I'm like bulldozing the freaking Amazon or something. So we'll work on that, but still, the concept is strong. We come into your house, we'll take down the tree, put everything away, bing, bang, boom, you're good to go. And you know what's even better? You might be at work, you might be at school. You come home, that tree's just, it's over, baby. You had no part in it. Isn't that great? It's all packed away until you're ready to get all excited and get that anticipation rocking and rolling until next year. And you think, okay, man, what can I charge for a service like that? Hundreds upon hundreds of dollars? Sure, to any sucker willing to pay it, but yet we should keep the prices reasonable so it can be affordable to mom and pop America. Yeah, I'm telling you, I think this is a billion-dollar industry taking down Christmas trees. Now, much like I've been talking about earlier in the show, I've done zero research on this whatsoever. None. So for all I know, it already exists. And someone is preparing a legal brief to sue me right now for bringing it up on air. Well, if that's the case, go ahead. You can't get blood from a stone. But if it isn't, oh my God, I am just like sitting on a gold mine right here. Literally, I feel like I'm rising up on coins, just materializing gold coins, doubloons underneath my behind. Because I know I hate taking down the tree. I really do. I just like, you almost want to play like Christmas music in reverse. Yeah, I know. It's kind of like playing Led Zeppelin in reverse or something. You're going to like raise demons from hell. But no, I don't know, man. I just, it's a bummer. So wouldn't it be great if you could pay someone to do it for you? To me, that seems like a no-brainer. I don't know. But yet again, if you're interested, let me know. Send me your money. We are going to get this rocking and rolling. And you know what? Before you know it, Jeff Bezos who? Like what? I don't even know who that is. I'm talking about David Chicharron, the richest man in the motherfucking world. That's who. Because he takes treesdown.com. Uh-huh. Yep, you get that right. So, all right, now I've pitched you movies, ideas, told you about what's been rattling around in my brain. I think that pretty much does it for today's episode. I would like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen today. I know it's a little different with Nate not around, but you know what? Time heals all wounds. We're going to get through it. And, yeah, I miss him, but we got to keep rocking and rolling. And I know he's here with me, and he's probably really happy that I got my little new co-host, the silent partner, sitting right here next to me in the wonkyweeds.com studios. So with that being said, I am David Chicharron. That is the Fieber, and this has been The Selling Out Show.